Downloading. 98%. 99%. Download complete. The episode will begin in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk, the technology show for blind and partially sighted people. Your hosts this week are...
Oh, hello, I'm Stephen Scott.
And I'm Sean Preece.
And I'm Tim Schwartz.
Hey! Oh, do you know, I don't know about you guys this week, but I'm a bit teched out this week. I'm not... I don't know if I'm feeling it this week, guys. Are you all right?
I'm spent. There is nothing out there.
I know. Do you know what it is? It's because there's no launch of anything at this point. I'm quite disappointed. I kind of need an Apple launch to G me up.
We need you to buy something. That's what we need.
Yeah, go spend some money, Mr. Scott. Yeah.
Well, I might have done that, actually. Maybe I'll talk about that a bit later. I have been buying a few things, shall we say. Some technical things, including one way to take a selfie more easily.
Oh, that's just what you need. More selfies in the world.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I started the new show here, RNIB Connect Radio, and they want me to do videos. So obviously, you know, after undergoing plastic surgery and some Botox treatment, I should be ready to go, hopefully in about 5 years' time. But no, I thought I'd better find a way of taking a selfie video that actually looks quite good, because the first one I did wasn't. So... I got myself something this week, so I'll talk about that. Also, loads of stuff going on in the news. Well, not that much, really. Not huge amounts of exciting stuff, I'm going to be honest. I mean, it's not rip-roaring stuff.
It's this boring. Week, unfortunately. It's a barren wasteland out there.
Well, there are lots of rumours, because, of course, we're in that period just before the big announcements come out from Apple. No doubt Microsoft will have a launch. Amazon usually run about September, October time, just sort of drop some new equipment. Not very regularly, but they do it, and they don't announce it either. So we're looking to that, but in the meantime, it's just all rumours. Plus, we've got lots of your emails and lots of conversation happening, which I must admit is the more exciting bit when we get to the emails, because we're going to be talking about all the old phones of the past that seem to be coming back, if that is, they even went away. So, all that's to come on this week's Tech Talk. But I thought we'd maybe start off with the big story of the week, because I don't want to linger on it too much, because it'd be too easy to do. But Apple apparently are now worth $1 trillion.
Oh, it sounds like there should be an evil laugh after you say that. $1 trillion. I mean, what even is that? I still remember the good old days when $1 million was a lot of money.
I know. It's insane. I mean, so the... What this article, there's an article from NBC News in the States that Tim shared with us this week. And I've got to say, this one makes me smile, because it tells us what could be done with that money. If Apple was to turn around and say, which they're never going to do, we're going to take all this money, I'm going to put it to... Yeah, exactly. We're not going to do this, but we, you know. But it does give you an indication of where Apple sits in terms of this money and what it could be doing with it. Apparently, if Apple was a country, it would be the 27th richest, just behind Pakistan and ahead of Malaysia. Wow. With that kind of money, Apple could buy 1 billion people the top-line iPhone 10 and still have $1 billion left in the bank.
That was my favorite part of the whole article. I'm like, wow, that just really puts in perspective, or does it, how much money that really, really is.
Well, there's another way to look at it, which I think is more interesting, certainly the suggestion of what could be done with it. Apple could give every single person in the United States, all 325 million people, a check for $3,076.92, which is apparently enough to buy everyone to buy a top-of-the-line MacBook Pro and still have a few hundred dollars to spare. It seems ironic, doesn't it, that if you were to get that money from Apple, the first thing you do is just give it straight back to them.
Exactly. I love these lists, because they're just so ridiculous. Look, we know $1 trillion is a lot of money. We don't need these examples.
I know, but it's always interesting, isn't it, just to get an idea of what you could do with this money. There is a suggestion that, you know, Apple could scoop up two other tech giants, Amazon and Netflix, would go for around $1 trillion, but they'd have to act fast because Amazon's currently valued at around $879 billion and is widely believed by analysts to be the next company that will join the trillion-dollar club. They could buy Google, they could buy Facebook, they could buy Coca-Cola and Ford and still have money spare. I mean, it's incredible. It is absolutely incredible how much money is there. But there is actually a serious point to this, and that is that they are buying quite a lot at the minute. I mean, they're spending money kind of behind the scenes on various projects. One in particular, which is most talked about, is buying content for television, because it looks as if they're about to launch their own Netflix-style company. There was even talk a couple of weeks back, you might have noticed, that they were talking of buying Netflix, which would be, wow.
I'm not sure how I feel about that, to be honest.
I don't know either.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a send. I mean, would it make sense for Apple to do that? Probably. Because, you know, if they want to go into that or go down that route, then why not just buy over your competition? Apple have done this a lot in the past, haven't they?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's what they're famous for. They're famous for, especially for little companies, that they see the potential of their technology. You know, things like Siri and Face ID, they buy these early and incorporate them. So, yeah, they're definitely known for that. I don't know. There is something slightly scary about a company getting to such a scale. But as you said, there are companies that are on there, you know, catching them up. So maybe this is going to be the new norm. But when a company gets as massive as that, you start to think, is there anything that they just couldn't buy up if they wanted to? How can there ever be any competition anymore?
And I think that's a good point, because I wouldn't be surprised if they did start buying up other companies, whether it's Netflix or something else. Things that make sense, of course. They're not just going to start buying up other companies just because they want to completely eliminate competition, although maybe they would. If Steve Jobs was still alive, they might. But yeah. they definitely would. But you know, something like Netflix, I wouldn't be shocked about. And with all of that capital, it wouldn't be surprising to see them do something like that. That being said, as much of an Apple fan as I am, it does kind of illuminate how expensive their phones are, because the profits are so big that they can do this. You know, Amazon is doing it, yes, off selling devices, although the Amazon phone wasn't all that spectacular, but Echoes are so inexpensive, and even the new Fire TV, you know, the Fire Cube TV is so inexpensive, and they're just doing it off of online sales, and a lot of times those they cut down pretty big. So for them to be able to reach almost the same heights as Apple, you know, and they don't really have a major expensive product like Apple to do it, I think kind of tells you a lot.
The number that sticks out for me is not the $1 trillion, because that is money which has been gathered over a period of time. This didn't just happen overnight. This company has built up to that, and it obviously has got there now. But the number that shocks me more is $53 billion, and that number refers to the last quarter in sales. Not, you know, over years and years, just one quarter.
See,
of the year.
And you're absolutely right. That is the important number, because that trillion actually is the I can't remember the technical name for it, but that's the share worth. So that's
wrong.
That's not actually the cash reserves that they've got, but $53 billion is in sales. That's how much they got in the quarter. That's amazing.
And two-thirds of that is iPhone sales. And I guess my question is, how long can this work? How long can this continue? Because, of course, this is the question a lot of the analysts are asking, is how long can Apple maintain its lead like this? I mean, let's be frank, if Apple has a really bad year with the iPhones, for whatever reason, I mean, if Apple had a Samsung situation with the battery burning and all the rest that happened with Samsung, and Samsung got over that, but it did hit their sales big time. If that was to happen to Apple, goodness me, I mean, would it have that impact? Or do you think the fanboys just don't care?
I don't think the fanboys care. And I think if something like that did happen, it would be a one cycle thing. I think it'd be a 1 year out and then they'd be right back in the next year, just like Samsung did. Everybody thought, oh, well, Samsung is all over. They have exploding phones. Nobody's going to ever want to buy a Samsung again. Here comes Apple. And then the following year, everybody said, oh, look at this new Galaxy. Oh, it's so nice. And let's buy it, despite the fact that the previous one would explode. So I think that if Samsung can get over that in a one-year cycle, I have a feeling Apple could too, especially with the Apple fanboys. But it is interesting to see that every year we always hear this story of, well, Apple's finished. They don't have anything else they can do with an iPhone. What else could they possibly do? Or are we really excited about the notch? Are we really excited about bezel-less screens? Really? And then they release numbers like this that are still 6 to 8 months after the launch of a new product, and they still are making billions of dollars. And that's, of course, 2/3 of it, like you said, Stephen. That's not including iPads and Apple Watch and other products. So, yeah, every year we count them out, and every year they get right back in there again, just like Samsung.
Yeah, it is down to the iPhone. That is it. That is the success of Apple. There's no. Yep. They were on the verge before Steve Jobs came back of collapse, and then the iPhone and the iPod was the thing that turned them around, and they're surviving and making those profits from the iPhone and the iPads. If that went away, to be honest, Apple aren't great at the other stuff. The Macs are selling because of the popularity of the iPhone and the iPads. A lot of people will jump on that ecosystem because of the mobile devices. And if they ever drop the ball on the iPhone, that would be interesting times.
I think they're probably more likely to lose people from the Mac side than they are the phone. That would be my prediction. But I think, I mean, it's interesting. I was talking to someone yesterday who said, you know, I would never buy a Windows computer. And I thought, who does buy these computers? Clearly they're popular. People are still buying. I think Lenovo, who was formerly IBM, and then, you know, they have just exploded in the market. Of course, you've got to take into account, when you look at these sales numbers, you've got to take into account corporate and education markets. You know, these are all part of this. These are not just all people going out, you know, consumers like us, going out and buying stuff. But it does interest me how these numbers tally up. And I think that, I'm personally, and I've said this before on this program, you know, I'm now considering where I am when I think about a new computer. I mean, there are new MacBooks that came out recently. Am I looking at them? Not really. I'm thinking of going down the Windows route, but then that's an accessibility thing. For me, it's, I just find that the JAWS and NVDA are more appealing to me. I seem to have more options on that side than I do with a Mac.
Yeah.
But anyway, interesting conversation for sure. And it does bring us to the rumours that are kicking around about what's coming next. September, of course. I think, did they say, what, is it 21st of September? Is that the date?
I've heard a few different ones, yeah. But yeah, something towards like the end that, of yeah. September, yeah.
And that's usually when they announce the new iPhones, the new iPads, and probably a new Apple Watch, which Tim's all very excited about, aren't you?
Yes!
I know, you can't wait for that. Well, here's the rumours so far. I'm not going to bore you with them because, you know, I'm getting a bit bored with these rumours. I just want to see the result. And I don't know if I'm massively keen on this. They seem to be going down this route of bezel-less design. All the manufacturers are doing it, not just Apple. And it's the new iPads will be rumoured to be having bezel-less design and corners, cut corners. And the notch, of course. People are obsessed with this notch. I don't care about the notch, if I'm totally honest. But what I'm trying to figure out is, how do I hold this thing without touching the screen? That's what I don't understand. With these bezel-less designs, how do you actually hold it without touching the screen? And I don't know. I don't know if I'm.
It's all in the software, you know, touch rejection and things like that. It'll be fine. Don't worry.
I've had a few dates like that.
It's your nickname, touch rejection.
Yeah, exactly. There's a hashtag for you. Okay, so that's a rumor.
Childish.
That's kicking. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Had to happen. But yeah, I mean, it's the same with the new iPhones as well. There's a chance they're going to be coming out with larger phones. Oh, do you know what? I'm so bored of this. I think I was tempted to get a new phone this year, but I wanted a new phone. And I thought, I'll hang on to September and see what they bring out. But truth be told, I probably will just end up going for an iPhone 8.
No, 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 no. This is ridiculous. Someone asked me recently, okay, I need a new phone. No, don't buy one. Why would you buy one now? Wait a month or two, because everything is going to move down the line. And what you buy now, you probably could have got the next level up for the same price, you know, in a few months. Wait.
Yeah, but I'm buying in a contract. It doesn't matter.
I don't care if you're buying it in a contract. That's not the point. It's the principle of the thing. Stop it. I forbid it.
Okay, fine. Right.
Thank you.
Okay, you've had your say on that one. Right. Okay. Well, I just wanted to bring up another story, which is in the news this week. It was one actually I wanted to talk about. It was an article which I started reading, And maybe we should put it up on Twitter, actually, at RNIB Radio, because it's all about how screenless phones could benefit blind and partially sighted people. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be completely frank and honest about this. I started reading the story and I fell asleep because it's a very long and detailed account of all of this.
And now we're going to talk about it. Stay tuned.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to put it up on Twitter and you can read it yourself. And if you're struggling to sleep at night, this article will help. Because it goes into the whole history of, you know, how phones are accessible. It's obviously a research piece that's been done. And I'm sure it's brilliant. But ultimately, I think what it's trying to suggest is that the kind of Amazon Echo design of smart speakers could be something that could be built into smartphones. So you don't actually have a screen, you just talk to the phone, you browse the web with speech, maybe even a keyboard of some kind, maybe even some kind of joystick or whatever. That might appeal. So maybe that's where it's going, but I don't know how popular that would be to the public.
Futuristic pipe dreams that never happen on a phone. Thank you.
Sean is just so dismissive.
Put me in my place, Tim. Go on.
He is so dismissive. Well, I mean, I would say right now, I don't know that that's going to be something that we'll see take off, but I would say never, because Amazon Echo technology has been so popular, and now that they're putting it in so many other things with entertainment devices and white goods and all that kind of thing, I wouldn't be surprised to see that in a phone eventually, where you're just telling it. I mean, look at what Apple's going to do with Siri shortcuts. You're basically going to tell the phone, open this, launch that, do this routine, do this, that, and the other thing. And it's going to string all these different things together with Siri shortcuts. So that's kind of the preliminary of this already in a phone, is something like a Siri shortcut with iOS 12. So to go that extra step to say you don't even have to touch the screen, you can just talk to Siri or talk to an Amazon type, smart feature within your phone and have it do most, or if not everything, by voice. I actually wouldn't be surprised if in the next 5 years or 10 years or something like that or less that was the case.
Wrong.
I might have known you'd say that.
We shall see.
Yeah, we shall see. Just a quick one as well. Amazon have announced some new features, bringing more accessibility to the Echo line of products, in particular the Echo Show. Tap to A-Lady, let's just say it that way, which circumvents the need to use voice to interact with the Echo Show. Now, some people might think, well, there already is a button to press to speak to it, but I think this is for people who have trouble with speech, and especially those who have hearing problems. The Echo Show is brilliant for this, because it obviously has the screen, so if you've got hearing problems, but you can see okay, or even if you have partial sight, someone might have, say, Usher syndrome, and, you know, it has problems with sight and hearing. Well, this could be useful. Lots of different things you can add, and it just becomes essentially like a tablet, I guess, on the screen of the Echo Show, which is quite good. You can have things like news and weather as icons on the screen. You tap and it will give you that information. Also, the ability to turn smart home devices on and off using text input. The other thing they're adding is Alexa. I said it. I do apologize.
Oh, no, forfeit.
How dare you?
I know. What is this forfeit? I need to figure that out. Amazon Echo Captioning, let's call it that. And it was introduced for US customers a few months back and has now been rolled out to those in the UK, Germany, Japan, India, France, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. The addition will offer an on-screen text-based response on both the Echo Show and Spot. I'm going to be extremely controversial and say, whatever you do in life, don't buy one of these things. It's just, don't do it.
What?
Don't buy one of these Echo Shows.
He's gone rogue. He's gone crazy. Someone hold him down.
No, don't buy one, because if you go and get yourself a 10-inch or a 7-inch or an 8-inch Amazon Fire tablet, then you get all that in there.
No.
And you don't. No. And, you know, especially you get voice view, and you don't need all that hassle.
No.
What do you say no for? See, now, you know I'm right. Now,
set him right, Sean.
What you forced...
Yes, he says this. He's done exactly that thing. You've done this.
What you forced me to do now is admit that I got something wrong. Because, yes, the new Fire tablets all have hands-free Lady A thing. I think that's the technical term. So, yeah, you can use it like that. But it is limited. You can't do everything on it. I can't use Spotify on mine. You can't drop in. There's other limitations. It's not the full product. Whereas if you got the Show, you get those extra full Lady A experience.
Yeah, that is the only problem, actually, with these things. Well, it's interesting because I was going to. Well, I was going to buy the Sonos One. You know the new Sonos speaker they brought out, which has got Lady A built in. And the reason I didn't was because I was on the way to the store with my money in hand, off to the store, marching up. I'll have one of those, thank you very much. And just before I did, I was listening to a review on the way in. And they said, oh, and of course, one thing to realise is it doesn't have a lot of the functions, including the drop-in. Right, that's it. And went just turned right round and went back home. I thought, I'm not buying that because I like the drop-in feature.
Well done. You disproved Sean's point.
Thank you.
Yeah. Did I? Oh. Sorry. Okay. Well, that's your news for this week, because we're going to move on now to the email. Do you know, I just realised something, guys. I've just realised.
What?
What?
We didn't play the jingle.
Oh, no. Well, play it now.
Right, I'll play it now, and then it's as if we played
we'll
it
pretend.
Before.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Oh, right, okay. So that was this.
News from the internet.
Oh, smooth. No one noticed.
Well done.
You'd never know, would you? Right, now it's time for this.
Email, we get email, we get your email every day.
Bing bong!
Here's your mail today.
And Sighted Guy Chris is here. Hello, Sighted Guy Chris.
Hello, everyone. How is everyone doing today? I like this new nickname.
Yeah. It's an inclusive nickname. That's what I am all for.
Oh, yeah, it certainly is. Well, it's funny because you sent me the list of emails and I was going through them, but I have put it to the smallest font, so I don't feel very sighted trying to look at them just now.
Okay, hang on, guys. Update. Partially sighted guy Chris is now with us. Right, okay, well, we've got the emails and quite a barrel load of emails. I saw you wheeling the emails in today.
Absolutely.
So let's get to the first one.
Well, I won't embarrass myself by trying to do an accent, but we've got a great email here from Stanley, who says, I always listen to your program every Tuesday morning at 5 a.m. my time here in Medford, Oregon.
Wow.
I was listening to your program and the lady, I heard her name and Echo, misbehaved. In other news, I have the Orbit Reader 2020 cell braille display and thoroughly enjoy it. I find the braille quite crisp and fun to read.
Right. First things first, we've upset his Lady A, I believe.
Yes.
That must have been you, Stephen.
Yeah, well, I do say the word quite a lot by accident, so I do apologise, Stanley. Yeah, it's probably me, because, yeah, it's so difficult not to say her name, but you do.
It's a bit like that yes-no game they used to have, isn't it? If anyone can think of a forfeit for when we do say that by mistake, then email in.
No, please don't. Right, moving on. Yes, the second point, the Orbit Reader. We haven't got it here in the UK yet. It's a bit of a myth. It's like one of those, I don't know, it's like something that, you know, only...
It doesn't exist. It's like the unicorns.
Bigfoot, the Brailler.
I've heard good things about it. I've talked to a few people here in the States that have actually seen it. They have actually... found the myth, the legend, the Orbit Reader.
Fake news.
Yeah, right. And they agree with Stanley that it is actually a nice braille display.
Do you know, I watch those documentaries sometimes on the Discovery Channel, the UFOs, you know, that appear in the middle of the night and take people away and then bring them back. Why do they always bring the people back? That's what I always wonder. No one ever leaves and never comes back. They always come back. But anyway, the point is, it's just like them. Right, moving on.
All right, let's move on to an email from Martin, who says, hello, Stephen, Sean and Tim. I hope you're all well. The GPS app that I use on Capsys Smart Vision phone is called Now Nav. It's great and you can set waypoints. It uses Google Maps and you can get it on the Play Store. I also have my Nokia N86 phone, which is also working great. There is still a need for button phones. Apparently, RNIB still sell Talks for Nokia phones. The Nokia phones are also still available from VI Tech Solutions with Talks as well. I've also heard that Capsys have brought out a new phone with buttons just for calls and texts. It's called the Mini Vision and has full speech on it. Sight and Sound are selling it. Keep up the great work. Best regards from Martin.
So, guys, there you go. The old button phones are still there. I think that means I'm right, that people do want these phones. They're still for sale.
Hang on. I don't think anyone argued against you there. Yes, people still like these phones. I'm just not sure how cost-effective they are.
Yeah, by the time you spend all that money on the Nokia phone and the Talks and all that, yeah, it isn't very cost-effective. I remember when I got mine way back when, I hated it because I purchased it, And then like 6 or 8 months later, I found out about the 3GS iPhone and switched immediately. So yeah, I don't know how cost effective they are now. But to that point, I think there is something to be said for the tactile feel of it. There are people who still, for whatever reason, just aren't into a glass screen. They don't want that smartphone feel. They want something tactile. And, you know, so they are still available. And I guess that is the way to go.
Yeah, but this is the same argument we had last week. But, you know, we are sitting here, we love our iPhones and all the rest of it, and iPads and whatever else, but you know, there are people out there who just don't want any of that stuff. They don't want it, and I know Sean thinks True. They should have it, but you know, it's a lot of money. However, in saying that, you know, I was looking up this Capsys Mini Vision, and I could only find it online for one price. I'm still searching for it at the moment, and that was £350 for the Mini Vision.
Here's
the thing about it, though.
Look, I'm not.
Hang on. Let me tell you. It's got Look, it's got large print. It's got large print text. It's got speech in it, so it does speak. That's where the price seems to jump up. And then, of course, and it's all kind of encased in what I would say like a standard Nokia candy bar phone, like a 3310. That's the kind of size and style you're looking at there. So, you know, £349 for that. I mean, it is just insane that you have to spend that kind of money when the equivalent for a sighted person could be £50.
Exactly right. Why can't we get a candy bar phone, I think the name is. Why can't we get one of them that's got some sort of speech in it? And it shouldn't cost any more than £60-70 at all. The price is just out of whack.
Well, it's something. I mean, I have to be honest, I'm amazed that Talks is still on sale from so many different places.
I'm still
amazed at that. I mean, how old is Talks?
Yeah, I'm surprised it's still going. Is it still going, or is this just an old version? I don't know.
I actually probably think with that software, I said this last week, I think that software is probably so old, and it still works, but that, you know, it's as far as it'll ever go in its life.
Yeah.
You know, so if you've got one, it's great. Oh, actually, just a quick update, because I have just now found it. This Capsys Mini Vision mobile phone, available from Sight & Sound, as was just suggested there, for $299.
Oh, well, bargain. So I've totally changed my mind.
It's a bargain.
Oh, let's just quickly say as well, that GPS app, what was that called? NowNav?
Yeah, that's an Android app, isn't it?
Yeah, that's following on from the email, trying to navigate and find crossings, but get the turn-by-turn as well. So that sounds good, being able to drop waypoints and getting the navigation as well. Yeah, definitely worth a look.
Well, it's nice to hear a solution for Android, because we often hear about the Apple options, but it's quite nice to know there's an option out there for people who've got Android phones. Yeah. We'll come on to an email about that, I think, shortly. Let's move on, though, Chris, because there are tons of emails to get through.
Absolutely. I love this email from Simon, which starts, "Hi, Steve and the gang. I was trying to order something from Amazon, but happily ordered this instead. Spoiler alert, guys, he never comes back to tell us what he was trying to order."
Oh, come on, Simon.
Simon.
But
we'll guess.
What he ordered instead was a 32-gig USB iPhone flash drive, USB, micro USB, and lightning connect. 3-in-1 for iPhone, iPad, iOS, Android, and PC. Gold. In brackets. It is the 32 gigabyte pen drive with a regular USB connector at one end and a lightning connector at the other. The practical upshot is that you can copy files from your PC, for example, and then transfer them onto your iPad. It costs about £12 or less. When you plug it into your iPad, your device tells you that you don't have the correct app to use this pen drive, but then, amazingly enough, takes you to the App Store, displays the app, and allows you to download and install it. The app is free and is completely accessible. I used it quite happily with no sight whatsoever. The app respects your folder structure, so you could go into a folder called Books, then Author, then Title. Once you have played the first MP3, it automatically moves on to the next. This applies for data held on the iPad itself or on the pen drive. So, the next time you go on holiday, you could easily copy content onto your iPad, clear the drive, then fill it up again. Definitely 5 out of 5. Best wishes, Simon.
Ah, no, that sounds good.
That's, comparable to the SanDisk Connect that you and Tim bought, I think.
But a bit easier.
Yeah, it sounds a bit easier and is very comparable because, at least with this, sounds like you just copy them straight away and write on. You don't have to continue using the drive itself. So once the files are on your iPad or iPhone, then you can just put the stick away, where the Connect drive uses a Wi-Fi connection and you have to keep everything on the actual Connect drive. But yeah, this is nice, especially for that price. This sounds like your next purchase, Stephen.
Yeah. Well, do you know, it's funny because my wife and I have had a bit of a, let's just say a few words. And my wife is always right, as you know. But you know, and this one, between us guys, I kind of think she's wrong. Because we can't find it. That's the problem. We can't find it. She's convinced she gave me it back. So that means it's gone. Oof. Forever.
Yeah.
It could be lying on the floor somewhere. We'll never find it. So I've no idea what's happened to it. But I really did like the connector. My short time with it was brilliant. But this sounds quite good. I thought this was one of those things you would plug in. I've seen these before. You get the lightning port on one end and the USB on the other. And when you plug it in, you have to leave it plugged in all the time. And that just didn't appeal to me at all. This sounds like something actually that's quite clever, the way it copies across. I like this.
Yep.
If only Simon could get in touch with us and let us know what he was planning on buying.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, if that's what he ended up with, I've got to know what he was trying to get.
Try buy a light bulb or something. Right. What was the name of it again? Was there a name of that particular thing?
He seemed to give me the entire description without really a name, but it's the 32 gigabyte USB iPhone flash drive, USB micro USB and lightning connector 3-in-1 for iPhone, iPad, iOS, Android and PC, and in brackets, gold.
Oh, snappy title.
Yes.
Yeah, that is the Amazon title there. But also interesting to note that it's a dual, so it's lightning and micro USB, so you could use it on an Android device as well.
Oh, you're so exactly. You're so smart, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, no, I listen. I think that's the thing.
Right, okay. Thank you, Simon. That actually, do you know, I think I probably will go and find one of those once I get a memory test to see if I can remember that title. I don't know what I'll end up buying. Maybe this is the new game on Tech Talk. We all try and buy something and who knows what we end up getting. American fridge freezer just arrived. Hurrah. Right, what else is in the emails?
Well, our next email comes from Andrew, who says, "Hi guys, I'm giving my own feedback as a customer. Fun or geek? I like the balance of skylarking and technology as it is at the moment.
Okay.
Not all the features are relevant to everyone, but I do find the show entertaining. I often listen using the telephone information line. On the Daily Connect, you say, for today, 30th of July. I really like this and would find it useful on Tech Talk as well, as I never know when to expect the next episode. Something like, welcome to Tech Talk for today, Tuesday the 1st of August, or even, for those listening on podcasts or the telephone information line, it's Monday, 1st of August. It's just a couple of thoughts. Thanks, Andy Keir."
That's not a bad idea, actually.
You know, it's actually good.
Yeah, because then people would know what one they're listening to. That would mean that we would need to know what we're talking about, guys.
Yeah, exactly. That's more organisation than we're used to.
Yeah. We do it on the Daily Connect because it's a daily show and, you know, we want people to know what they're listening to for what day. So, yeah, maybe, yeah, okay, I think we'll try that. And, yeah, the telephone information line is good. You know, people can listen to the show and I think bits of the show as well on that, which is great. So you can always keep up to date. No, thanks for that, Andrew. I appreciate that. And, yes, the skylarking about... We'll continue to do.
I like that term. I'm going to use that one.
The balance. Just make sure it's balanced.
Yes. Always balanced. It's always balanced. I only do balanced skylarking. Because back to my weekend. I spent the weekend, guys. But I tell you, it's just a little off topic for a second.
Wait for this. You'll never guess. Okay.
Yeah, you could never. If I was to give you 10 guesses, if I give you a million guesses, you would never be able to work out what I was doing the weekend. I was trampolining.
No.
I end up trampolining. Now, I will say, here I am in this trampolining place, and I'm there with about 8 million children who are just bouncing all over the shop. I we'll say it, we were there with friends who had a child. I mean, we didn't just sort of wander into this place by accident. We were intending to go to the butcher's.
I was going to say, was this intentional, or did you go on Amazon looking for something and accidentally bought tickets?
I wanted to buy some sausages, and I ended up bouncing around like a maniac in front of children. No, it was just a bizarre thing, but it was a friend said to us, why don't we do this? Let's go trampolining. And I thought, just for a moment, I thought, do you know what, why not? Why not?
Are you mad? And, no, the proper response is, are you crazy? I'm a grown man. No, thank you.
That's what he said the moment he started actually doing it. He said, why not? And then he did it and went, why did I do this?
I nearly broke my back. It was not the most fun experience in my life. But anyway, it was different. Let's put it that way. Anyway, why did I tell you that? I have no idea. Moving on. What else is in the emails? Well, this is Tech Talk, by the way, in case you tuned in thinking this is Loose Women all of a sudden.
Well, Keith has been in touch, who says, hi to you all. I enjoy your podcasts and the banter. Some people take tech too serious.
Quite right.
It's to be enjoyed, so I think having a laugh helps the enjoyment, and I think people are more likely to listen and learn rather than being talked at all stuffy and correct. And to go with that, please keep the Thunderbirds intro, as it makes me smile every time. Sadly, I'm of an age that I remember sitting with my nose to the TV screen trying to make out what was happening. Fond memories of when I was at home from blind school. Also, in a previous podcast, you discussed the upcoming update to iOS 12, and it was mentioned that there was an issue in the beta release with making and receiving phone calls. So, do you know if this has been resolved? I'm one of the few that wants a phone that makes calls.
Yay!
Keep up the good work. That's from Keith Waters.
Well, first of all, Keith, thank you for the comments, and I'm glad that you enjoy our nonsense here. I don't know about the learning part. We do try, but...
we're educators. Yeah.
I think we're educating ourselves as we go along, if we're being perfectly honest about
correct.
It. But yeah. No, do you know, it is, I have to be honest, right, just on this point, I think this is the thing. We like having a bit of fun here, but, you know, we do get to the information and we do talk about things that are important, but, you know, you've got to have a laugh. I mean, let's be frank about it. The world is a pretty despairing place at the moment, and if you can at least get a laugh out of it in this hour, then that's good.
Well done. I agree. Now you're right. Say
that. Absolutely.
Right. Just to put that out there. Right. Which I didn't know. Right, okay. As for the Thunderbirds theme, yes, it's staying. Because no one's come up with a solution yet to it. No one said, oh, well, actually, what you should do is use the Muppet theme.
We've had no suggestions. I'm waiting for someone. I'm surprised.
Although now you mention it.
Yeah, it would work, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But to the other point about iOS 12. Now, this is the beta release, which is out at the moment. So this is, you can download this to your phone. You've got it, Sean, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm doing it on my only device. And it's fine. Yes, there was an issue with the phone calls, but I haven't had that issue since. It wasn't a massive issue. Seems
are you updating as each of the new beta updates?
Yeah,
come through?
I updated a couple of days ago to public beta. I think it was 4.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's still a little bit flaky. I ended up with 2 copies of every folder that was on my home screen yesterday. Turn it off and turn it on again sorted the problem out. So, you know, there's still issues, but it's a beta, and that's what you expect. But the phone calls, it's fine.
Yeah.
Currently. Well, let me put that caveat in there. Currently, it's right. Okay.
But we should say, though, and it's important to say this, Tim, that, you know, the beta release is out, but it's purely for people who just want to try it out, who've got a spare phone, not like Sean, who's put it on his only device. You know, so people usually get a spare phone and, you know, maybe want to see what it's like. But when it comes out, all these problems will be ironed out.
In theory, all these problems should be ironed out. Now, we have seen with famously iOS 8 and even iOS 11 to a certain extent did have some extended problems over time. But that being said, yeah, a lot of these big core issues usually are ironed out when it is released to the masses. The betas, yeah, it's beta for a reason because they're expecting that there's going to be bugs. Beta, excuse me, my
yeah,
horrible
come on.
American accent. Hey, at least I agree with saying router instead of router, so you got me there.
Absolutely.
But you're welcome. But no, it is a beta.
I told you, it's an educational program, isn't it?
It is.
That's what it's all about.
But no, it is a beta for a reason. beta, because there are bugs involved and they do have to work these out. And that's part of the point. Yeah, you, if you want to be brave like Sean and put it on your one and only device, go for it. But expect that you're going to have issues. Things may not work. Bugs may crop up. If you have a spare device and you want to test it out, not just to see what it's all about, because that is one part of it. But then if you actually want to try to test it out and help that process, that's a good thing. But yeah, in the end, I don't know that I would do it on my one and only device, at least not yet. Maybe one or two more public releases, I may actually put it on my one device, but not quite yet.
No, I'm not too fussed by it. To be honest, I did put it on an old iPhone I had, and I just thought, you know, I don't know why I'm bothering with this, because there's problems with it and issues, and I just thought, I haven't got the patience to even be bothered.
It's so we get advanced knowledge of all the features coming up so we can pass it on when it gets officially released, Stephen. It's called doing research.
I don't agree.
Now you're just speaking Mandarin or Greek or something to Stephen.
I don't understand this concept. No, I'd rather just wait until it arrives, bumble my way through it. Hang on a minute. That's exactly what you do, Sean Priest, with everything else in life.
So this one thing he's researching, everything else, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't read the stories before the show. But, you know, he's researching iOS 12 for us.
Don't give away the magic. Anyway, back to the emails.
Right, back to the emails.
I'll jump right in here, shall I? There's an email from Greg who says, "Hi, Stephen. Now, this one's for the listener who was trying to use a webcam for a magnifier. I have a low-cost mainstream suggestion. Instead of a webcam, a document camera will give a much higher resolution without the cost of specialised equipment that may work for some folks. I've used a HooverCam document camera in conjunction with a Kurzweil, K1000, ZoomText and JAWS. It is designed for OCR use and works fine with ZoomText or the Windows magnifier as an ad hoc CCTV and is highly portable. At my desktop workstation, I do use a specialist device for this purpose, a HIMS eBot RPO, which came with a backpack and has a battery.
Wow.
But I would never call it portable.
No.
A comment on the Victor Reader Trek. You should be aware that it has a hardware future ready for the upcoming GPS system that will be accurate to about 2 feet. I don't remember the rollout date. We don't have RNIB in your pocket over here, but am I correct that it works as a phone? Is it a good choice for your listeners who don't want a smartphone? Regards, that's from Greg in Pennsylvania."
Hmm. Well, quite a lot to pick up on in that. I think it was the hover cam rather than the Hoover cam.
Sorry.
Because I think, I have to say, I'd love the Hoover cam, but, you know.
Yeah, if the Hoover vacuum cleaner can also have a cam in it, that would be amazing.
There's a YouTube channel just waiting for that, really, isn't there? No one will watch it.
Yes.
Maybe we'll watch it, but that's it. Right, okay. So, yeah, I mean, this is all this kind of ongoing thing about the camera and what's best to use. I mean, all the suggestions Greg has given it are brilliant. I mean, there are lots of different options out there, but of course, a lot of it comes down to price. And the ones we talked about last week on the show, I think we were looking at £200 or £300 for the one that RNIB was selling. That was the color mouse or the mono mouse, but it plugged into the computer. I quite like the sound of that.
I like those.
It depends on what you're needing. And obviously it depends on what site you've got as well. The one I've got, the Prodigy Duo, can speak as well. So you can actually put a document under it, hit the button, a play button, and it will actually start reading back the text. So a lot of blind people like that. But it's quite bulky, I think, if you don't need the screen. Have you used any of these things, Sean?
I mean, I haven't. No, I just find them too cumbersome trying to read text. I'd rather use OCR and, you know, KNFB reader or even Seeing AI now. But yeah, great point there about using a mainstream option to this. Document webcam cameras are, as he said, high resolution and using the on-screen magnification, and also you could take a picture and OCR it at the same time. So it's a bit of a workaround hack way of doing your own accessibility device there, but it's definitely an option when price is a consideration.
Well, price is one thing, but also the other thing you've got to think about, sorry Tim, but the thing just to say is that, you know, it also comes down to use case. You know, if you're reading a bit of mail, one page of mail, that's fine. But if you have to read through 50 pages of something, you know, the different equipment you have will make that more efficient. I suppose that's part of it. Anyway, sorry, Tim, you were going to say something.
No, that's right. I was just going to say that Greg's email, I think, is indicative of that whole issue, that cost is a major aspect of this. If you don't have the funds, then yeah, if you're able to hack it, get something else that you can that's less expensive, and come up with whatever way you can. I mean, in our community, that's a lot of times what I hear people say is, oh yeah, I could get that for $500, but I found that if I did this and that, and you know, for $100 or less, I was able to make it work. You know, if you can find that, more power to you. Good job. But I think Greg's right. If you can't, you know, if you can find something less expensive, like you were talking about, Stephen, with those devices we discussed last week, those are going to be your better option. If you have the money to put into it and get the proper equipment, that's going to be the best. Especially, like you said, you've got a 50-page document. If you're doing that all the time, then it may be worth putting a little bit more money into. If you're just picking up something once in a while, like Sean was talking about, then KNFB Reader on your phone or something like that, you know, seeing AI apps along those lines may be a better deal because they're going to be less expensive or free. And if you're only using it once in a while, you may not want to invest so much money.
Mm. Okay, and HumanWare's Victor Reader Trek, I had no idea that it had the capability to go down to 2 feet in regards to GPS. That's not something I've even heard of.
I think Greg's referring to the Galileo, the new GPS system from Europe. Now, are we still going to gain access to that after Brexit? That's still up in the air. We still got to reach a deal for that.
Oh, I'm so fed up with Brexit. Look, they're even taking accessibility away now. Oh.
Let's vote again. But yeah, it's far more accurate than the current GPS. It uses more satellites. I think we're up to 24 satellites that are up at the moment. So it's far more accurate. And yeah, it's coming online soon.
We've got Brexit. Tim's got Trump. Life is terrible at the moment. Right, okay, moving on.
Well, this is a nice email from Kelly, who says, "Hi, gang. I was really interested in hearing about this Lucia phone."
Yeah.
"Which, as I understand it, is specifically for people with sight loss. I thought I would tell you about my first talking mobile phone I got from RNIB way back in 2005. I don't know if you remember the Oasis 22C talking mobile phone."
Well, I remember that.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
"It was basically a phone which didn't have a screen. It was very basic, but the voice wasn't all that great. I think it is now discontinued. I had it for 5 years before using Talks, which I liked. I have now given it to my stepdad, who is also visually impaired, and now I use an iPhone, which I love using. Looking back, I don't think I liked the Oasis 22C. To me, it didn't quite look like a normal mobile phone. It's very difficult to find straightforward mobile phones with speech on them. I know there is the Doro, but if you have no sight, then this phone wouldn't be of much use if we can't see it to use it. I would have thought that the Doro phones would have speech built in. If you're an elderly person, then using smartphones can be extremely complicated. Okay, we don't have trouble using Synaptic, TalkBack or VoiceOver, but there are a lot of people who might be elderly that can't get to grips with these types of software because it wouldn't be too complicated. It needs something like the Oasis 22C or similar because it will be very easy for people who haven't quite got to grips to using smartphones or people who are elderly. What do you guys think? All the best, Kelly of Loxwood in West Sussex."
Well, thank you, Kelly, for the email. I think it raises an interesting point yet again about these types of phones and who they're built for, because you know, one of the things we've talked about on the show is that kind of easy phone, that simple dumb phone, as I like to call it, because it doesn't have any smart features in it, unless, of course, it's the Nokia 3310 that's got Snake in 3D, but useless to me. But I'm interested in this one because I think there is a market out there, especially for the talking ones. The downside is, as we were saying earlier, you know, that phone, that Mint Capsis Mini Vision actually sounds ideal to me, but it's £300.
Yes.
And I'm thinking I could get an iPhone SE for less than that. And I would just go through the grief of learning how to use a voiceover on the phone. Is that more worthwhile? And I know people will say, well, you can't really compare the two. But I think maybe we should to some degree, because it gets to that point where if you're spending that kind of money, then it's, you'd be better off buying something with more functions that you don't need to learn today. You can learn down the line. I know Sean will agree with that.
I do. That's exactly my point when I come to specialised hardware, yes. And you know what? I don't entirely agree with this. Well, you're elderly, so you know you won't be able to cope with this. I don't believe that. I believe that, you know, you can learn this stuff. It isn't that difficult.
Yeah, you say that though. Sean,
No. It isn't. It isn't. It just because you're elderly doesn't mean you suddenly lose your brain. You can use this stuff. You just need someone to show you. That's the secret to these things.
Well, there's the other problem. Where's the support? I mean, there's not a huge amount of it out there. And, you know, it's all, I mean, you get, I think as well the problem is that when people get shown this technology, it's often grandsons who come in and say, hey, granny, yeah, check this out. And it's, you know, showing animojis and firework displays on text messages, and it's like the granny's saying, yeah, but how do I make a phone call on this thing? You know, so I think it's about maybe being sensible about the approach. Also, I think as well, you've got to remember there are people who are older who will have problems with their fingers and mobility
exactly.
themselves.
Exactly
those
right.
Those problems come
That's
in.
What we're saying. I totally agree. There should be a Doro phone out there, which is speech only. There should be that available for these needs. And
it's cost, though, isn't it? It's
and why we cost. Can't get one, for as we were saying earlier. And going back to Greg's email quickly, because we didn't answer this about the RNIB in your pocket, it can be used as a phone to make calls and text messages.
Yes, yeah.
Very similar, I find, to the Synaptic interface, so it's easy to use. So, yeah, just answer that question quickly.
And you can speak to it as well.
Yes,
so
you can.
It's a little bit like Our Lady A, but it's got the phone function. And it is a phone. You can take it and you can use it anywhere. So, you know, that's a plus point, I guess, for it.
Well, I think the plus overall to all of these devices is that, as you guys both said, we should have stepping stones from an old candy bar type phone to a smartphone. There should be a stepping stone there. There are going to be people that have a use case for something like that. But all in all, I agree with Sean in the idea that just because you're elderly or just because you're older doesn't mean you can't learn how to use this device or smartphone device. It is about being sensible. It is about perspective. My 81-year-old grandmother has had an iPhone for 2 or 3 years now, I think. And does she do everything on it that it can do? No, but I have made sure to be sensible, like you said, Stephen, and teach her how to use the phone part, how to use Safari, how to use iMessage. I've even downloaded some apps for her for old time radio so she can listen to old time radio programs. And she navigates those things just fine. She actually plays casino games and slots and things.
Uh-oh.
On it.
Right,
things
yeah,
I,
calm
yeah
down.
Things I never expected that she was gonna do. So
gamble away.
Yeah, so if she can do that, you know, anybody can. But again, if you have mobility issues or other disabilities that prevent you from really using a smartphone, number one, there are accessibility features that can maybe help. But if those aren't helpful enough, then yeah, you do need something that's a stepping stone to replace that for you. And there's nothing wrong with that. But again, going back to the point of, well, if you're going to spend £300 or £400 on something like this, you could just get an iPhone SE and... Again, like you said, Stephen, you don't have to use every feature, at least not at first.
No, I think that's the point. You know, it's if the talking phone was £50, then that would be a different ballgame. You know, I think that's the problem, that the talking phones are not. They are so expensive at the moment.
Right.
And it's because that they're not as popular. Let's be frank, that's why.
The niche market argument,
yeah. It is a niche market. But the large print ones, less so, because you know they're marketed at elderly people generally.
See, I just, because we've been here so many times, how many times have people assumed because you're blind you need something dumbed down or something simpler? Because you won't be able to handle that.
Well, you do, Sean.
Yes, but I'm also elderly and blind.
No, I get your point. I do get your point. Right, we're going to get a couple more emails in.
Well, we're continuing this theme, actually, with our next letter from Julian. And it might be 13 years old, but the Oasis 22C makes a cameo again.
Wow.
In this email, which begins, "Hello, Tech Talkers. After 12 years with a Nokia Talks, I smartened up in January this year to an iPhone, and I love it. I was up and running from the outset due mainly to having used an iPad with VoiceOver for 4 years. My brother's phone, on the other hand, is an Oasis, a screenless, chunky affair bought from RNIB, which is now 13 years old. He desperately wants a new phone, one that he can make and receive calls and send and receive texts on, but categorically not a smartphone. The Lucia you mentioned sounds promising if no vision is required. I recently heard on the Vision Australia Talking Tech podcast that a company called Pacific Vision are launching a basic talking phone, the Mini Vision. This also sounds promising. The problem is, will either be sold in the UK? That's from Gillian, who also has a PS, which says, I've been listening to you for 6 months now and have learnt a lot. Keep on with the banter. It's part of what makes Tech Talk a good listen.
Oh, thank you, Gillian. Well, actually, to answer that point, the Capsys Mini Vision, that is the one that we were talking about there. That is that phone, and it is available from Sight and Sound in the UK and Computer Room Services as well. You can get it for £299 from Sight and Sound, and yeah, that is the phone. So, you know, it comes down to that cost again. It's interesting, isn't it? Because people say categorically no smart features. But I suppose I kind of go with Sean in the sense of, well, if maybe someone could spend just a bit of time, and maybe Julian, you're the guy to do it, spend a bit of time and just show what the phone can do. Not necessarily every single bit of it, but, you know, if we all help each other a bit on this, maybe that person might think, well...
Exactly, you know. Right. You've got to take it in bite-sized chunks. That's how I learned it. That's how most people learn it. You just, okay,
make
show me
call,
how to make a
send
phone
a text.
Call.
Yeah, and do then, that stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, once I learned how to turn VoiceOver on my iPhone, I was using it that night. I had gone, like I said, from a Nokia phone with Tox to an iPhone 3GS. And once VoiceOver was turned on, it was just a matter of, oh, okay, I can, worst case scenario, put my finger on the screen, move it around and find what I want. Okay, there's this double tapping thing and this swiping thing. And at first, that's all I needed to know. And I actually found it more useful and less clunky than using my Nokia with Tox. I actually felt that it was easier to navigate and I could do a lot more with less, you know, with less effort. So it is, again, perspective and a person's use case, but personally, I just felt that it was a lot easier.
Okay. Well, Chris, I know there's more emails there.
There always is.
There's always more emails.
There's always more.
Well, listen, thank you for all the emails that you've sent in this week. And Chris, thank you once again. Sighted Guy Chris Bin. Sighted Guy Chris, give him a round of applause.
Thank you,
Sighted
Chris.
Oh, thank you.
Sighted
well
Guy
done,
Chris.
Well done.
Guy. I'm getting my hashtag.
Oh, I'll come back.
I need a hashtag and a jingle for this guy. So get that order for next week. Chris, thanks for coming in.
Most welcome, sir. Thank you.
So that is almost it for our show this week. Just a reminder, the podcast is available in various places. You can get it on iTunes or Audioboom or wherever you get your podcasts. Do check it out and keep up to date with the show. Lots of you are asking about whether there will be a separate Tech Talk feed just for the episodes. That is something we're looking at the moment, because some of you would prefer that, especially those of you listening on smart speakers. We hear you, and it is something we're looking into at the moment. Hopefully we can start doing that quite soon. And that comment Andrew made, what do we think, guys? I think that's a good point. So we start off the show on the podcast, and then people know what date this program had gone out, so you can follow. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, it makes sense, as you said, especially on the smart speakers where you're quickly going through them. Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that. I think that's a really good idea. And, you know, maybe figuring out which one of the Muppets each of us is. I'm not sure, but...
Oh, there's an email conversation now. Do you know what? I think that may come up in emails in the next few weeks. We shall see. But lots of interesting conversation, especially around the dumb phone market, as they call it. I think I'm going to look into this Mini Vision from Capsys a little bit more, because I'm quite intrigued by this. And I wonder what the voice is like. I'm kind of wondering that. Also, how to get all my contacts into it. Because there's all of these other realities when you use an iPhone. Everything just drifts along merrily. Yeah. Everything lives in the one place. How do you do that with a new phone?
So we need to find the cheapest talking dumb phone out there that can make phone calls and text messages. That's what we need to do.
Good luck with
that. I know. Yep. Guys, thank you again. That's it for our show. We're back next week at the same time. Sean and Tim, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.